The Gospel according to John, chapter 3.
Glory to you, O Lord.
No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted the serpent in the desert so people could have something to see and then believe, it is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everyone who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son. And this is why, so that no one need be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the crisis we're in. God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light, so the work can be seen for the God work that it is. This is the good news according to John. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a quote I saw recently about making a fundamental choice of what to do with your life. And that is the topic of today's sermon. The quote was anonymous, but you may decide if it has value standing on its own merits. This is the beginning of a new day. You have been given this day to use as you will. You can waste it or use it for good. What you do today is important because you are exchanging a day of your life for it. When tomorrow comes, this day will be gone forever. In its place is something that you have left behind. Let it be something good. Let us start exploring this choice of what we make of our lives by looking at a key important contrast between dark and light, or night and day. In the creation story, light was the first thing that was created. Light is primary. Its contrast to dark is simple yet profound. As my art teacher tells me every lesson, you can't have light without dark. Yeah, right, Kim?
That's right.
Yeah. As we shall see, choosing darkness instead of light is a fundamental defining choice. And people are offered the choice of living in the open, in the light, or in the darkness, hiding their works from plain sight. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is revealed as coming from the light of God. In fact, Jesus is the God light. When Jesus is present, light shines. And at his arrest and crucifixion, at least two mentions of light and darkness are made. When Judas betrays Jesus, the gospel says, "And it was night." When Jesus dies, the sun is eclipsed. These are not coincidental mentions. Today, as we enter into the very memorable story of Nicodemus, who did not use the choice offered by Jesus as an opportunity for change, his today, as the quote said, was not something he used for good. Rather, Nicodemus remains a literal-minded character, and he rejects the transformation to a new God consciousness. Nicodemus, as a Pharisee, lived as a leader in the ecclesiastical world of his day. Pharisees were responsible for validating the acts of an external god by their own authority. Nicodemus, all external supernatural being. As Jesus puts it, he knows nothing of the spirit within that blows where it wills. For Nicodemus and the Pharisees, God needs to be harnessed, nuanced, even feared. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, under the safe cover of darkness. It's absurd that Nicodemus clings to his literal-mindedness concerning being born again, asking how a grown person could re-enter his mother's womb to be born again. Jesus tries to break through the literal-mindedness by contrasting the physical and the spiritual worlds. Nicodemus is not listening. Jesus references creation, where the Spirit of God hovering over the waters is the inbreaking spirit, the invisible, moving the visible, physical world. For all of us, this may all sound very much like a dialogue written by a Jewish mystic gospel writer, John, confounding us with the depths of an esoteric theology. Let me make it more plain. Allow me to put this into contemporary language with contemporary people and real everyday choices. One of my favorite preachers is Frederick Buechner. He first glimpsed wholeness, what we are calling the Godlight, in his grandmother. No matter what happened to her, Buechner says, she remained remarkably and invincibly herself. Whatever kind of loss or failure she encountered, she remained serene and intact. She lived out of some deep center in herself. Even when his grandfather had lost most of their money and they had to move away from the place they had lived forever, leaving all their old friends and their old life behind them, that did not cause her to pull her hair out. She found new friends, made do with the money they had, and so on. I think many of us, as we are aging, will relate to the next part of Buechner's story. At the age of 94, she had broken her hip and was too frail to live on her own any longer. Buechner and his wife and daughter visited her in the nursing home. And his grandma wrote a note after their visit. "Dear children, it was such a joy to see you and your bewitching little fairy daughter. It helped me to compensate for substituting an old lady in a dark room for the grandma of legend." Buechner reflects, she was indeed an old lady in a dark room, but because she knew that, she saw herself clearly, without complaint or bitterness. She had aged, but that was not all. She was, in fact, a good deal more. There was a room inside her, too, that was neither dark nor little. There she remained untarnished and beautiful, at peace and full of wit and eloquence, even to the end. When she wrote of the joy of the occasion, I don't think she exaggerated. Rather, she lost sight of her own predicament by focusing on us. Buechner concludes, "This is a glimpse of some of the wholeness I carry with me, a bit of a banister to hold on to as I myself prepare to climb the dark stair." Wholeness, or living in the Godlight, means, among other things, that you see the world as a whole. When we act in wholeness, we become the actors in the drama of our lives, not reactors. We stay rooted in ourselves and our values and connected to God through Jesus, the God light. In the strength of this peace, we can connect with the ones in our lives who need the peace of God. But maintaining wholeness is difficult because the world is fragmented. Much of the time we are in pieces and we see the world in pieces, full of darkness one moment and light the next. There is another way of living. It is living in the God light, of course, and with the people whose lives have been deeply touched by the God light. When we are touched by the God light, we see another way of being human in the world, which is the way of wholeness. No matter how much the world shatters us to pieces, we carry inside us a picture of wholeness that we sense is our true home, and that beckons to us. We see the fragments, but we remain serene and intact because of the peace we carry inside. Jesus sees what he calls the realm of God, the kingdom of God, if you will, a new consciousness. If you seek to live in that spiritual realm, it's necessary for you to make a spiritual transformation, a journey. On this journey, you're trying to get more and more in touch with your higher self. Or as the old song says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on tables, on heaven's tableland. A higher place than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In the gospel message this morning, Jesus is describing the choice between living in two different ways, living in darkness or living in the God light. Those people who are not really interested in pleasing God are practicing evil. These people are addicted to denial or illusion. Does this ring true? It is like the person I recently encountered who slandered some of the people close to me. And when I objected, he said, oh, I was just kidding when I said that. That is denial. And denial is not just a river in Egypt. Denial is real. It is when we do or say something wrong and just to justify or discount that behavior. As John's Jesus says, men and women who run to the darkness fear a painful exposure. They aren't really interested in pleasing God. But for you, my friends, who wish to please God, who choose to follow a journey of transformation, John's Jesus says, anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes the God light, so the work can be seen for the God work it is. And also, looking up to Jesus, trusting and expectant, you will gain a real life, an eternal life, because you believed in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. God is not pointing a finger to accuse you when you fail. God has given us Jesus, the God light, who is resplendent light, filled with grace and truth. Let us learn to run toward him and not away. Remember, no one lives a perfect life. There is no perfect offering. Ring the bell. Run to the God light. Confess who you are in the Spirit. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. May the Spirit who comes to you from the heavenly realm be within you as you walk this journey of transformation. May it be so.
Amen.
Please feel free now to bring your insight or reflection.